Emerald Podcast Series. Research that makes a difference.
Hi everyone, and welcome to the Emerald Podcast Series. I'm delighted to welcome three women leaders from Emerald Publishing who are joining me to discuss the who, the what, and the why of Emerald. So welcome everyone, really excited to get into our questions and our discussion. And to kick off this session, we're going to begin just to find out a little bit more about Emerald's history, who we are and what we're about. So for those of us who may not be familiar with Emerald, Vicky, as the CEO of Emerald Publishing, could you give us a brief introduction to Emerald? If you could tell us about its history, what it stands for, and how its mission has evolved over the last 55 years, that would be fantastic. Thank you.
Of course, yes. Thanks, Rebecca. So Emerald was founded in 1967 by a group of management academics at the University of Bradford School of Management. So as legacy has it, as history has it, at the time they were frustrated by the lack of journals available in their discipline areas. So essentially they spun up their own publishing business. And they started with one journal, so that was Management Decision, which we still own today, and they acquired that for the princely sum of £1. And then they grew the business through launch, through acquisition to where it is today. So we are now a global publishing business. We publish over 400 journals. We have a really thriving books program, and we have a teaching cases studies program as well. In terms of mission, from its inception, Emerald has always been a heavily applied publisher. So that really means that the research we publish should have relevance and application outside of academia, so application in the real world. That was our founding principle. It really remains at our core today. We call it real impact now, but essentially we're talking about the same thing. So to our mind, research shouldn't be measured by numbers. It should reach relevant audiences, and it should have impact in society or on the economy or on policy or on management practice, on healthcare, or even on one individual. So that impact can be small or large. And sometimes, often, in fact, that impact does take time. But really, that's what we're aiming for. That's our mission and our purpose.
Oh, fantastic. I guess that brings me on to you, really, because, you know, you have been appointed as the first female CEO of Emerald. That's in 2018. And obviously you're at the helm of this organisation who has kept true to its founding purpose and is continuing to champion real impact, which is something that you, I know, brought to the fore many years ago. So yeah, I guess, maybe you can tell us about, you know, what your goals were when you first became CEO and why, and, you know, and how those goals have changed. Obviously, the real impact goal has continued, but, you know, maybe there's some things that have changed them.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's probably important for me to say that whilst I became CEO in 2018, I've been with the business since the year 2000. So I started as an editorial assistant in 2000 and I worked my way around most of the business. So for me, when I took over as chief exec, it was important, first and foremost, for me to respect the legacy. At the time, we were still a family-owned business and our founder was very present in the organisation day to day. So I did want to respect the legacy, but maybe what I wanted to do was press the accelerator button on a few things. And the first one, as you said, was real impact. So I see that as both a founding and a differentiating principle for Emerald, because we really mean it. So yes, we do understand that impact factors are important to some of our authors, but we're not driven by impact factors. We're driven by the positive change that research should have in the real world. And that's sometimes a hard and lonely road to follow. Our industry and our markets have been heavily metricized for a long, long time. Our industry also has its critics and its skeptics, and our markets come in all different shapes and sizes with really different wants, really different needs. But I think it's really important to be true and authentic and to kind of cut through all of that as much as possible. So when I first took over, I really wanted to amplify what we stood for. So application and change in the real world, global representation, equity. And I wanted to make sure that we walked the talk with our organizational culture and our organizational actions as well. So I wouldn't say that my goals have changed necessarily. And you're always responding to the world around you. You're always tweaking things as you go. But I think what we've done steadily over the last number of years is amplify those messages. And we've trodden a path maybe that others are not treading, or they're maybe treading a bit more lightly than we are.
I guess that brings us on to the sort of the next thing, which is another area that you've championed, which is gender equality. And this is something that, you know, we're really excited about in Emerald, and I'd be really, you know, it'd be great to hear more about it. But, you know, you have championed gender equality, and it's not easy. It's not, you know, it's wonderful to see three strong women leaders here. But I mean, hasn't come just like that. And it's been hard work, and it still is hard work. But congratulations, because Emerald has achieved a Times top 50 employer for gender equality, which is an amazing accolade, and you know, and well done to everyone that's been able to be part of that. And Vicky, you know, you've been championing this, you know, from the top, and you know, and it's been many years that you've done that, and so obviously for you personally, this must mean so much. And I wonder if you can tell us, you know, sort of how it feels, you know, to actually have this recognition, and what work has gone into getting this far.
Well, I mean, the awards, the recognition, it's not why we do it. And I can't stress that enough. But at the same time, it's fabulous to be recognised, and also know that we're not existing in an echo chamber. But I think For an organisation of our size, the things we do are pretty amazing. We challenge ourselves constantly to do better, and we've achieved some really great things. And to have that work benchmarked against some of the largest and most forward-thinking organisations in the UK and beyond, it gives us some validation. It makes us know that we're on the right path. I set up our diversity program in 2016. At the time, I was the only female executive on the board. We're now at a 5-4 ratio in favour of females on the exec. And that in itself is such great progress. But the biggest thing for me is that our work on ED&I has rippled throughout the organisation. It's led by the business. I don't need to lead this anymore. I can be a champion, I can be a cheerleader, but I don't even have to ask for us to think about X, Y, Z. I can guarantee it's already been thought about. And to me, that's real success. You can have all of the metrics and numbers in the world, but if this infuses the fabric of your organisation, that's success for me.
Oh, fantastic. And obviously, it would be great to bring Sally and Terry into the conversation, because obviously you are women leaders. And I just wonder, from each of your perspectives, you know, what do you see that needs to be done next? And where do you see yourself focusing your efforts? Because obviously, as Vicky mentioned, you know, she sees it's going to be done. So it's obviously something very important to your workflows and your ambitions as well. So if I can come to Sally first. Thank you.
So thinking about our content and our products, we have already committed to have equal representation of women across all publishing practices by 2030. And this really includes editorial boards, our reviewer pools, and having lead authors on our books front list. We're starting with 40 titles initially, but we hope to have spread that out across the programme by 2030. And it's a priority for us as a publisher because we know that imbalance is in part representative of the wider scholarly landscape and also in certain disciplines. And we can't address that imbalance alone. So it's really working with our editors and our reviewers and taking practical steps to tackle gender bias together. And we do this in a number of ways, but including actively encouraging female representation in teaching case products. So we make sure we shine a spotlight on our female protagonists. We also make sure we get those broader perspectives, whether that's the female perspective, but also a wider diverse perspective. So we really want to have rich variety of cultural viewpoints. We want more authorship for underrepresented voices. And we think this also brings a way to sort of avoid unintentional bias when accepting or rejecting articles. And it also fosters real fresh perspectives that align with broader societal views. So we're not in a vacuum. We're actually in that echo chamber and we're listening to others. And a piece of work that I'm really excited about that's going to be kicking off soon is our latest diversity survey, where we're going to be talking to our editorial teams. So I'm sure we'll be able to share those results in the coming weeks as well.
Oh, fantastic. That's exciting, isn't it? Something for us to look out for. Thank you, Sally. And Terry, I don't know from your perspective, obviously you've worked in this industry for many years and you've been in other organisations. So it would be great to see, you know, sort of from your perspective, how that sort of lies, I mean, you know, where your efforts are, obviously being based in North America as well.
Thanks, Rebecca. You know, I think it's really hard to overstate. It's impossible to overstate how different Emerald is in this regard. I don't think I didn't realize it when I was, you know, thinking about joining the company, and even when I first joined, how much we stand out in terms of the way we approach, the way Vicky and Sally and colleagues have approached this over the years. It's really quite remarkable. As you said, I mean, I've worked in academic publishing in the U.S. for 25 years, more than that. And it's just, you know, the representation that we already have is something that would be the envy of most publishers in this space. So I think, you know, we need to shout that from the rooftops, I think, you know, as I'm thinking about how do we build this program in North America and build awareness of Emerald and really engage with our customers here. I think this is something that we, you know, that we need to be talking about. I think also, you know, we really can and should model the way for other publishers in the space. I think, you know, there is a lot that others can learn from the way Emerald has approached this. And I think it's almost, you know, the Times top 50 recognition, and when you look at, is incredible. And when you look at the, you know, the organizations that are on that list, when you think about, you know, a mid-sized publisher standing up against those and faring well, it's pretty incredible. I think we, you know, I think there's a lot that the industry can learn from Emerald. And I think there's plenty of work to do on this. So that's what I would, you know, love to be a part of, is really making Emerald a part of the, an even bigger part of the global conversation on gender equity.
I would like to shift gears a little bit and talk about a little bit about Emerald's acquisitions that you're involved in at the moment. And you have recently acquired ICE in 2023, and that was the Institution of Civil Engineers publishing portfolio. And if I can come to Vicky, it would be wonderful if we could find out a bit more about how that came about, you know, sort of what you were looking for, why you decided to acquire ICE Publishing, and anything else you'd like to add. And then we can sort of talk a bit more about sort of the editorial highlights. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. So the ICE were looking for a publishing partner for their journals and books program at the end of 2022. And it was actually a competitive market process. So we didn't go to them. They didn't necessarily come directly to us. It was a competitive process. And that's absolutely completely standard and normal. And that's the way it should have been for such a prestigious list. So we put forward a proposal We had a pitch to the ICE executive and their board. And ultimately, we moved through to acquisition in May 2023, so just over a year ago now. I mean, personally for me, Sally will hopefully agree, she was there at the pitch as well. I think there was a real meeting of minds. So ICE have been a vocal supporter of the Sustainable Development Goals, much like Emerald. They're mission-driven, much like Emerald. They're very interested in equity, much like Emerald. So, you know, we found some real common ground there and some areas where we thought working together could really push forward those agendas. So from that perspective, I think it was a really great partnership from the start, and it continues to be a great partnership. But I'll let Sally talk about the detail of that.
Sally, yeah, I mean, you're VP of publishing. And so you obviously, you know, you were involved in the acquisition heavily. And I just wondered, sort of like reflecting on that time, sort of what you could see and sort of why you thought this was a good thing for, you know, both parties, and sort of what the, you know, editorial highlights have been in that time, because obviously it's still very, very new, you know, and we're still getting to know everyone and sort of like, you know, details and of, you know, what everyone's trying to, you know, trying to achieve. And so I think just to pull out some of the highlights, you know, sort of what we've done already in that very short space of time would be really great. Thank you.
Yeah, as Vicky said, it was obvious there was a meeting of minds and a shared sort of vision and ambition for the ICE publishing programme. And thinking about the editorial highlights, I mean, first of all, I'm just really proud of everyone who ensured that the transition to Emerald was seamless. There was no disruption to service for authors, editors or readers, which in itself is pretty phenomenal. But we've also really managed to realise synergies from the get-go, really, and we've significantly grown the content in the journal's programme, including in flagship journals such as GeoTechnique. We've seen a growth in downloads for articles and books, and we've also launched a brand new SDG-focused Emerald goal, which is sustainable structures and infrastructures. We've launched a new gold journal as well in that time, machine learning and data science in GeoTechniques. And we've grown the ICE books front list. So there's been a lot of activity, and I think it was made easier, really, because there was that shared ambition for the programme. So we were able to bring the Emerald programme and the ICE programme together through that lens of equity, through the SDGs, and just a real passion for research that has a real world impact.
Fantastic. Thank you. And Sally, obviously, you mentioned that Emerald's created a new goal area, and, you know, that's a big step, actually, for a publisher to align its content in that way. And so I don't know if there's anything you can say about the goal area that, you know, sort of what value it is to have this new goal area in that particular area of research, and sort of what commitments Emerald's making to ensure that that research really does make a difference.
I think, Rebecca, you know more than anybody the effort goes into creating the new Emerald goal, because you are very much the custodian and the guardian of that Emerald goal. It's a great way of curating and signposting the fantastic content that we have across both programmes. So just to explain what an Emerald goal is, it is a way of bringing together the best SDG focused research in engineering across the Emerald programme and also the ICE programme. And it does it in a thematic way, looking at it through a variety of lenses, but also including social issues as well and the impact of research on society for the better. And how we do this is we run some campaigns called missions, which are provocative thought leadership pieces, where we highlight really topical issues such as circular economy and digital technologies. And then we curate our existing content behind these thought leadership pieces as a way of driving usage and downloads and authorship. So we signpost the traditional journal articles and book chapters. We commission new content such as podcasts and infographics. And we're really trying to elevate that content to get more eyes to the content, but also get more authorships to write for our program as well.
Thank you. If I can just interject slightly, I think what we're trying to do with the goal area, you know, it's a massive commitment, and it's very different to publishing has been like, you know, trying to find new ways to get research out to the people, the stakeholders, the policymakers, the, you know, industry, the people that actually need this research to make a difference in the real world. And through the goal areas, we can really amplify those voices. We can showcase research and give authors a platform that we've not been able to do prior to this. So, yeah, thank you so much. I'm really excited to turn attention now to our future, in North America. So I would like to come to Terry. You know, you're the president of the North America team. And I'd just love to find out more about sort of the academic publishing in North America, what we're offering to the region. What does publishing look like in 2024 in North America?
Sure. Yeah. So it's a big question. If I can do it justice, I think I was thinking about this and I think higher education in general is at an inflection point, really, in the States anyway, which is where I'm based. I'm based just outside of Boston. There are lots of challenges right now, and this is all reflected in the publishing space as well. I think the value of research is being questioned, and I think this kind of the drive to increase volume has caused unintended consequences around integrity, which then, you know, cycles back to value of research being questioned. And I think, you know, institutions of higher education are increasingly being kind of asked to justify their existence. And I think there are many reasons for that. But, you know, I do think that one of the valid ones is about the affordability crisis around higher education in the States. And I think where Emerald can really contribute is really around that focus on real impact and applied research that Vicky and Sally talked about. It's a little bit harder to think about how to talk about real impact in North America, in particular in the States, just because we don't have a kind of assessment framework here in the way that other regions do. So I think we don't have anything to rally against or for. So I think it's a little bit more difficult to think about how do we present, how do we talk about the value of our focus on real impact? We're working on that. And I think there are lots of organizations and individuals in the region who share that interest, share those goals. And so we're working to really develop partnerships and work with other stakeholders who share those goals. I think, I've worked in the social sciences for my whole career. And I think that desire to connect research with practice, research with outcomes, it has always been there. And I think it's only going to grow. So I think for me, it feels like a real privilege to come into an organization that is really committing to driving that conversation forward. Yeah, I come from a much bigger organization where, the motivations are different, I think. So that's, I think, great. And then I think also that applied focus, kind of research by and for practitioners as well as academics, I think is a real, it's a strong point for Emerald, but I think it's also something that that we need if we're going to be solving the kinds of problems that we're facing, just, you know, globally, but in this region in particular. So, we won't have the answer by ourselves, but I think that our approach to our publishing, Sally leads, and our approach to equity and real world impact, which Vicky leads. I think these things are winning positions, and I'm really looking forward to kind of shouting about them here in this region.
Amazing, thank you, Terry. And I don't know if Vicky or Sally would like to add anything to this question.
Yeah, sure. Well, I guess I am biased, I'll admit that from the start, but I do think we offer something a little bit different because we're large enough to offer a substantial content footprint, but we are small enough to care. And as I hopefully articulated earlier, we really do care about what and who we're publishing, about who we're doing business with, and about how we're doing business. So we're ambitious for growth, but it's not at the expense of losing that authenticity. I think generally, and I think this is the case in North America as well, more than ever, academia and publishing needs to be a partnership. It doesn't need to be so adversarial. We do need to co-create solutions for a future that is quite unpredictable as we sit here today. In many, many different ways, it's unpredictable. So that's really what I think we can offer. We can offer some choice, we can offer flexibility, and we can offer partnership.
Fantastic. Thank you. Sally, was there anything you'd like to add?
Yeah, I would agree with both Vicky and Terry's sentiments around. There's so much this region has to offer, and already we've got really great, strong authorship, particularly for books in this region. And it's just around how we work. We really do try and work in partnership with our authors and editors. It's a collaboration. We're trying to redress any imbalance in terms of editorial representation from North America. So having conversations with Terry and the team, with our existing editors, leveraging their networks to really make sure that, you know, we're attracting the best research from North America for the social sciences. And as Vicky says, we are small enough to care, and the relationships we create are very much one-on-one. So it's very much a personal relationship when you publish with Emerald.
Thank you, Sally. I think it's more and more about collaboration, isn't it? Global collaboration. So I think whatever we can do to facilitate that collaboration and bring different minds together and amplify, you know, the best of the best in each region and bring that together and get that to the people that can make the change on the ground. I mean, that's where we, you know, being authentic, that's really what we want to do. That's the heart of what we're trying to do here. So it's not without its challenges, obviously. You know, every region's got something different that they're dealing with. And then it's trying to work out how we can best serve that region. And obviously, Terry, you've been in your role for just over a year. So I just wonder if you can tell us a little bit about, you know, why did you come to work for Emerald? Obviously, you've seen lots of different ways of and approaches to publishing, and you know the challenges. And then sort of, you know, coming into the role and how you felt about it, and what do you see sort of like a year on? It's just over a year, isn't it? So sort of like a year on. What do you see are the sort of the opportunities, the challenges there? Thank you.
Yeah, it's just been a year. I joined last May, so a little bit over a year. And it's time has flown. And it's been just really exhilarating. But, you know, as you say, you know, every opportunity has its challenges. So we've, you know, certainly had some of those. I think, you know, when I was looking at this role and thinking about moving to Emerald, you know, I'd been aware of Emerald for my whole career, just as a very fine publisher in business and management. That was kind of how I knew Emerald, and I had worked in those fields, and that was sort of the reputation that it had in my eyes, that the company had. So I wanted to make a change to a mission-driven organization. I think profit motive in publishing is not a bad thing, because I think it helps to create new ways of disseminating content, and the revenue that publishers generate does help to make changes and improvements in scholarly communication. So I like that part of it, but I also really like the mission-driven aspect. And I didn't really understand, I think, to the extent to which Emerald was really mission-driven and how much it was real. I think we hear a lot about mission today. We hear a lot about, you know, goals and visions. And I think, you know, in a lot of cases, unfortunately, it's just a very cynical kind of strategy, a marketing strategy. So, it's taken a while, to be honest, to kind of adjust my mind to being in an organization where actually, you know, getting on the Times top 50 for gender equality is not just about submitting an application. It's about years of work that went into creating a certain way of working and a way of being in the world as a publisher. And so that's just been a real revelation for me. I think, you know, we're working in a very tight market, you know, institutions' budgets, our library budgets are very, you know, have been squeezed for a long time. And so we, you know, we want to offer great value. And I think, but we're competing with other publishers. And I think one of the things that Sally just talked about really struck me, I think it's very, it's a very happy thing for me to come to a company where authors really love their publisher. That is not the case in a lot of places. And I think seeing the feedback from our authors and, you know, meeting with them, talking with them, it's really quite striking how much they enjoy the process of publishing with Emerald and how supported they feel by Emerald. And that is really, that takes a lot of effort. So that's been really great. And I think also, you know, that we were saying every challenge is a blessing, and it is a blessing and a curse with everything. But I think this challenge that we have in North America about just visibility and brand awareness is in part because so much of our author base, reviewer base, editor base is outside of North America and Europe. And that is a very unusual problem to have. You know, most publishers, you know, that are competing globally really are kind of very heavily Europe and North America focused. And that's been almost the opposite at Emerald. And I think there is something there in terms of what we offer to the market, a real global perspective and, you know, in a kind of program where all voices or many, many voices are represented. But I do think there's a lot of great research coming out of North America. And I think that there are a lot of researchers, a lot of, especially you know, early career researchers, also practitioners. And then, you know, senior people who just aren't striving for the same things that they were striving for earlier in their careers. So there's a real, I think, sea change in what people are looking to get out of their research. And I think the timing for Emerald is really great because I think that our ethos, our approach to really trying to generate real impact and really not chasing citations, but chasing real change in the world. I think that the time is really right for that here. And I think that is, you know, it's a challenge. How to talk about that is a challenge, but I think it really is a great opportunity. Too. I hope I've done justice to that question because it was a good one.
Oh, that's brilliant. Thank you so much. And it's wonderful to hear your feedback, you know, a year on and sort of what you've been involved in and sort of, you know, and what you're planning to do. And I just wondered if you could talk us through some of the key areas of the Emerald program and discuss the importance of what Emerald publishes from a North America perspective.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking about this, I think the independence is really important. And I think that's, you know, there aren't many independent publishers left. I started my career at a couple of independent publishers, including Blackwell Publishing, which is also based in the UK. And I think there is a freedom in being independent that allows you to kind of take a longer term view. So I think, and that's what the company's been doing. So I think that, you know, I've always thought of Emerald as kind of business and management. And I think it's really teasing out all of the other areas in which Emerald is really strong. So, you know, everything from engineering, and we're even stronger now than we were before. We've been publishing in engineering for 40 years, to tourism and hospitality. And that's you know, I think it is a very practical area of research, but it's also, you know, there are many aspects to that. I think it's not just about sort of marketing your hotel. It's about really, you know, all the kind of different intersections with economics and demography and public health. There are lots of sort of intersections with what we publish. And I think it's really kind of getting thinking about how we talk about our program and the interdisciplinarity of it and the fields in which we're already strong, but then also thinking about what are the needs here, what's missing, and what would it take maybe an independent publisher to have the guts to do here. I think that we're very data driven, which we need to be, and we want to think about where research is coming from, what people are doing. I think we do have this ability to kind of bend a little bit more than some very, very highly commercial publishers can. And that's exciting to me that our program is, we have a very good program across a range of areas. And I think there are pieces of that we can really build out where there's a lot of really exciting work happening in North America.
Fantastic. Thank you, Terry. It's been really insightful, and I appreciate you sharing sort of how it's been for you, sort of during that year. So thank you. We're running out of time, so I think we've got two questions left. One is more of a personal question, and the other one is about a forward-looking question. So if I can come to Vicky first. As you mentioned, you've been here since 2000, I believe, so it's quite a number of years. And so I just wondered, what keeps you here? Why are you still here? What are you proud of as well? And then we'll come on to the future bit. Thank you.
So, 24 years in. So clearly I am a fan. I really like the size that we are, because it means we can be really responsive. But I also love the culture and the people. It's the absolute best bunch of people you'll ever get to know or work with. All really mission-driven, really purpose-driven, and really willing to kind of lean in and get involved. So it is just a great set of people, and that makes coming to work every day such a joy. I've stayed for so long because I think we've changed a lot with the times, and therefore my role has changed. I've moved around the organization, I've seen a lot of those changes, but I think that the organization really supports action learning and lifelong learning and professional development, and I've really benefited from that. So that's kind of what keeps me here, really, and also what I'm proud of.
Fantastic. Thank you. Can I come to Sally next, please?
So what attracted me to Emerald is the reason I'm still here as well. And it is that purpose and that vision. We have great people who really want to make a difference. And our company values are ones that I share personally. So it's not hard to be inspired or enthusiastic. You are sort of every day. And I really love the personal autonomy and the collaboration that you have at Emerald. So internally with colleagues, but also with industry peers as well, just to make things better. And that's what we do strive to do genuinely. And I think that's what keeps me excited.
Thank you. Terry, only a year in, but you've stayed.
Years a lot. Yeah. So I think that, there's, I'm going to get a lot of personal satisfaction, I think, about out of the experience of being at Emerald, learning new ways of thinking about things, learning a new approach to publishing. I guess you can teach an old dog new tricks, and I'm looking forward to learning some new ones. But I also think that the industry globally has this, or the enterprise has this dilemma around this push to move things open, which I think sort of intellectually I support, but I do think there's a difference between open and equitable. And I think that's where Emeralds can really make a difference. And I think particularly in the social sciences, I think we have to just recognize that we're working in fields that have historically not been very well funded by industry or by institutions for that matter, or governments, but that really hold the key to solving some of the world's biggest challenges. So I think that helping the industry to solve that dilemma around how to continue to make social science and humanities publishing feasible, I think is really exciting. It's very scary, but it's exciting. And I think that we have an opportunity in North America to have that conversation because we don't have that same kind of that same pressure that we have in other regions of the world where government entities have really dictated the terms of engagement. I think we have a real opportunity. It's almost like 50 different countries here, but it's I think there really is a real opportunity to kind of have those conversations that are actually going to get us somewhere and not just kind of as Vicky said earlier, like a publisher versus institution. I think there is really some opportunity to do some really creative things. And I think Emerald has the mindset and the leadership to make that happen. And I'm really excited about that.
I mean, we could go on all day, but we will wrap this up. So a little question about the future. What would be your vision for Emerald over the next 5 years? Coming firstly to Vicky, please.
Thank you. My vision doesn't change really. My vision is for us to be known as a responsible publisher, which champions equity and champions all voices. And I'm sure that will come in a myriad of ways, not least open access, but also hopefully new ways of communicating and consuming research. And we've talked about that for years now in this industry. It's time for us to stand up and really do something about it. I hope we're also known as a publisher that partners with its communities, so listens and respects and responds. Really, I highly doubt that we'll have solved all of the challenges ahead of us. But hopefully we will have innovated and we'll have changed with the times. And through that, we'll have remained true to our essence.
Wonderful. Thank you. I love that vision. Yeah. Excited to be on board for that vision. Thank you. Sally, can I come to you next? Thank you.
So I agree with Vicky. I think we have a lasting legacy. So while we'll adapt and change as the market changes, I think our fundamental core or essence of Emerald will remain. It's just how we flex and how we move with the times, I guess. I think content is king and still will be king, whether that's in front or behind the paywall. And I think we'll increasingly use new technologies to leverage that content, whether that's through discoverability or those exciting new formats that Vicky referenced. So I'm really excited for the future. I think author experience is really important. And also taking our stakeholders on that journey with us, whether that's faculty, librarians, editors, authors, I think we all have a role to play. So I think it's a very exciting vision that I see for Emerald, but it's one that's rooted in the past and also in where we are now.
Oh, that's a wonderful way to look at it, isn't it? So, you know, we don't escape our legacy. You know, we continue with that strong and as we look forward. And last word over to you, Terry. Thank you.
Sure. Yeah. 5 years, the years go by pretty quickly. So I agree with Vicky that, we won't have solved everything. But I do hope for the team in North America and for the organization that we can really rally our stakeholders around the things that Emerald has been so good at, the challenging norms around everything from research assessment to who should sit on an editorial board, thinking differently than maybe other publishers can or do think, and really bringing our stakeholders, so researchers, practitioners, institutions, along with government, people working in government along with us, and really kind of bring that vision to life through the content that we publish.
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you, all three of you, for being here today, for giving up your time and sharing your personal journeys and your insights and what you see for the future. And I think it's exciting times, lots of change happening, but there's certainly lots of opportunity too. So thank you so much. And wish you all the best in the future and let's see what we can achieve. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.